Hello and welcome back to another episode of Horribly Happy. I'm your host, Jenna.
And I'm your host, Sophie.
And we're back at it again, baby.
Hello, again. And
I pretty much just forgot our intro, so I had to redo it twice.
Had to give her a quick line read.
Line, yeah. So we have another great episode for you. A few updates, a little chit chat in the beginning, and then some stories to get into. I'm going to start by just giving a small update on our most recent episode, Army Hammer. And where should I start? First of all,
just got the chills.
Thank you for listening to that, because that's like the worst story in the world if it's true. And anyways, those texts were gross and I'm sorry I read them into everybody's ears.
Yeah.
So we posted on Instagram just like a little blurb about our episode, and somebody replied to it. What did they say, Sophie?
They just said that they hoped we did our research because there has been speculation / allegations that his ex, now ex-wife, and a friend or something, or an ex-mistress, used a fake email, and were kind of out to kind of ruin Army Hammer's name, and maybe some of these things weren't true.
Yeah, so then we looked at the profile of the person commenting, though.
Super fan of Army Hammer and Timothy Chalamet. That's for sure.
So it's just kind of funny. Just like one of those fan accounts posted that we should look into it more. Anyways, I did. I found a few articles talking about how his ex-wife used a friend's email to talk to journalists about their relationship fallout. But essentially, it was like, it wasn't like saying the allegations against him were false or like, you know, misleading in that way. It was more saying like she was emailing journalists about him like not taking care of the kids and abandoning the family in the Cayman Islands, stuff like that. So that's essentially what I found. It didn't really lead anywhere, but it was just kind of a interesting piece of it, I suppose.
Yeah, it made us dive a little deeper for a hot second, but feels like the allegations we talked about potentially still hold up and haven't been completely dismissed. So
yeah,
again, all allegations.
Yes. So yeah, that's that on that. Little weekend update. On Friday, we took a cute little friend trip to the Arboretum. It's out in like Chanhassen, Chaska, Minnesota.
The University of Minnesota Arboretum.
Yes, it's just like a little, like 20 minutes outside of the city. And it's so cute, and it's fall right now, so all of the leaves were just like,
yeah, amazing.
Absolutely amazing. But the Arboretum is really cool because it has like any viable plant that could, that is living and growing in Minnesota is at the Arb. So like there's a section for like any maple tree, there's like, and it's labeled like maple trees, cedar trees, and
yeah,
then,
like pine family.
Yeah, and then there's like a flower section of all the flowers growing. It's huge and it's beautiful, and it just feels like this like fairy garden that you're walking through.
Yeah,
we're driving.
There's a
3 mile drive.
I'd never been there. It's huge. You could go back there many times and still not see everything. So we did like a little driving loop, but I think what we had the most fun looking at were the herbs and like the kitchen. What did they call it? Like kitchen herbs?
I think it was like common kitchen herbs or something like
that. Yeah. So then they had like a section of herbs that like you would commonly find in your kitchen or would be nice, like basil, mint, coriander, I think was in there. And then there was like scented herbs, so kind of like things you would maybe use just for the smell, like kind of essential oily, that kind of stuff. So it was cool, different categories they broke all these plants into. Yeah, we all agreed we want to come back in the spring when the flowers are blooming.
Yeah, I guess it gets kind of crazy there when the flowers bloom, like everybody goes, because it's really pretty.
Yeah.
Oh, and during the Christmas time, there's along 3 mile drive, there's like a light show, essentially. There's just like Christmas lights all over, and it's really pretty.
So cute.
It's fun.
So there's something for every
hot chocolate or hottie toddy and go drive through.
Yeah. So that was really fun. And then we got dinner in Victoria, Minnesota, which I had never been there either. Cute little downtown.
It's good dinner. I love Victoria. It's so cute. It's like a block downtown, like just like the length of a block, but it's adorable.
Yeah. So cute. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Something else that I thought of just as we were talking about our Friday, someone got into my car.
Oh yeah.
I don't want to say broke into my car because like no windows were smashed, but my car does automatically lock when I get far enough away from it. And who knows? I don't know exactly what happened. It's possible that I forgot to lock it. I park it right out front, but it does auto lock. So it's kind of confusing.
Do you normally like lock it and then walk away? Yes. Or do you just let it auto lock?
No, I always lock it on purpose. Noticed that it was auto locking at my cabin in the summer because when I first pull up to my cabin, I leave it unlocked because I want to grab things and come back to it. Like usually I just go in right away, say hi to people, and I'm usually going back for something. And I would always get annoyed because I'd go back and I'd be like, I purposely didn't lock this and now it's locked. So I like tested it out. So it auto locks. Like I know it does. Maybe my keys aren't far enough away from my car where I put them in my apartment. But anyway, just like went through all my things. I don't keep anything of value in my car, which is a lesson to everyone. Don't keep anything of value in your car. So nothing was taken. They took some change that I keep in my car, but that's like not a loss to me. And it's honestly a bigger loss that I can't find my car chapstick. Maybe they took that, but they left their jacket. So,
or Tracy, someone's jacket,
or someone's jacket.
And it had a pamphlet in it. Which about is very strange
about death and like grief, which was, I didn't like that.
No.
So yeah, kind of strange. So
did you check to see if it looked like somebody like Jimmy the Lock or whatever it's called?
I don't know if that's the right term. I did. It didn't look, I didn't notice anything obvious.
Strange.
So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. This is only the second time, knock on wood, that my car has been like ransacked through.
You're saying that like it's like a low amount. Like this is only the second time this has happened to me. Knock on wood, that's never happened to me.
Yeah, I guess. But I've lived in the city proper, which you have too, pretty much. But our dear friend Sarah has had a lot of bad car luck. True. So compared to her, nothing has been broken. Just like things have been gone through in my car. I'm like, a win's a win.
A win is a win. Yeah, Sarah's car, like somebody stole her car from a parking lot, right? And then like drove it all around and then like pulled the mirror, the front mirror, or like the rear view mirror off of the glass. You know what I'm talking about? Like the rear view mirror.
Yeah, they pulled it.
Pulled it off and it's attached to the glass windshield. So like she couldn't fix the mirror. So it was just like dangling there. Like the only way to fix the mirror was replace the whole glass windshield.
Yeah. And remember someone just hit her car when it was parked outside?
Yeah, I do remember that.
And then Logan's car was broken into. So
yeah,
compared to them, it's all relative.
Good thing you're going to a place with a garage. Just kidding.
Yeah, is that your way of segueing?
Yeah, that's my segue.
So I bought a house.
Oh.
with no garage.
Snaps for Sophie.
So Jenna's comment was sarcastic.
No, I'm just kidding though.
But it's true. There is no garage. So I will be on the lookout. But besides that, very exciting. I bought a house.
So cute.
I was very casually looking as prices like began to drop. And just like being in a place where I have the ability, where I've like saved enough and have the ability to buy a house. So yeah, I just found the cutest little craftsman style home in my dream neighborhood. And I close in a month.
Let's go.
Woo-hoo.
Is that the style? It is craftsman.
It is.
Love that. It's so cute, yeah. You guys. The garage comment was totally not meant to be like negative on your great achievement. It's actually very cool because there's a spot where she can build a garage.
Yes.
So she can increase the value of the house a lot by adding a garage. And it's just the cutest house ever. When was it built? 1911?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know it's got character and charm. So I cannot wait to see it.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Garage is in the 5 to 10 year plan. But it's perfect for me for now. So yeah, I'm excited.
That's amazing. I cannot wait to see it. We have to throw a little soiree for you when you move in.
Yeah. A housewarming party, literally, because it'll be cold when I move in.
Okay. Now I'm like super interested in style of houses. Cause you always know the name, like craftsman style house. What's mine? A matchbox house?
No, that's not real. I don't know all styles of houses. I only know styles of houses that like my parents love because they're like they talk about it.
Yeah.
But that's so funny you said that because when I was at the open house for my house now. There was this art print up on the wall. It's called The Architecture of the American House. And I took a picture of it because I was like, I want this art and I should send it to you. I don't know if it's exactly like, but yeah, it has like.
So that was at your open house for the new, house.
For the staging. So I was wait.
That's so cute. I have it pulled up right now, I think.
I just sent it
to you. Is it a bunch of houses from 1600 to present?
Like this?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can see craftsmen. I wouldn't know exactly what your house is, but...
Well, mine was built in 1950. Oh, I love Tudor houses.
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I do.
Parts of your house feel Mediterranean / Spanish style because of the archways.
Oh,
but
okay.
That's not like the outside, but the inside is kind of.
Yeah, the inside has a lot more character. I mean, the outside's cute because it's just like this cute little red house, but the inside has
definitely. Oh, maybe minimal traditional.
Oh, no, I see minimal traditional with like Cape Cod and.
Yep.
Gable. I think mine would almost be.
Yeah, because that's kind of what it looks like.
Yeah,
like 1.5 stories.
Yep, the classic 1.5. Do you have McMansion in the bottom left corner?
Yeah,
that's literally, no offense to any listeners that live in a McMansion, I would rather live in a much smaller house than that.
That was like, were those the houses built like right before the recession in like 2008 when people just had so much money and they were just building these giant houses?
Yeah, and they have like those, they're trying to look like old fashioned, but it just looks not very cute in my opinion.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of character, so I'm kind of with you on that one.
Okay, well, we'll land on Cape Cod style because that sounds cute. And
I'm craftsman.
It's neighbors to the craftsman, so even cuter.
Love that. Mine would be, craftsman front gabled roof.
Yep. Definitely.
If anyone was wondering. Wow. Okay.
So that was we'll fun. Post this on our Instagram.
I know. I want this for real.
Yeah. It's so cute. You can buy a print of it. I'll send you the link. Much.
Okay.
$30. I want a print of it. Do you mind?
No. Isn't that fun?
So fun. I love it. Cuteness. So yeah, Sophie, huge congratulations.
Thank you.
Great feat for you.
Super exciting.
Can't wait to watch you grow into the little place. And
I can't wait to host.
Yay.
Yeah, super fun. Super, super fun. I'll maybe share some content of like decor and stuff.
Yeah.
Later in life. Well,
please do.
Once I move. But
yeah. Are you gonna have to get like, do you have any like furniture in mind? Because you have some nice furniture at your place now. Do you need to like get anything urgently?
Nothing urgently. And that's probably going to have to wait just because it's expensive to buy a house.
Yes.
I would like to eventually have like a true guest bedroom with a real bed. But right now I have that like day bed that folds out to be king sized. So that will for sure be fine and do for now. But I would like to get a comfier guest bedroom set up.
Yes.
And then there's a couple things I want to do with the kitchen, but that will also have to wait. I'm trying to think what else. I have a lot of furniture, which is nice.
Yeah.
That will make it feel not super empty.
And like right nice pieces of furniture.
Yeah. I've really like worked up my furniture collection. And then I'll probably go shopping in my brother and sister-in-law's basement. They have a bunch of furniture down there. I shouldn't say a bunch, but see what I can grab.
Sweet. Well, I can't wait to see the progression and hear the updates.
Of course. Of course.
Shall we get into the stories?
Yeah. Girly pop.
Swag. Slay. I hate that I say swag.
Swag.
Slay is the new swag.
Okay. Noted. Well, my story this week is kind of fits the spooky season.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I'm excited to share it. So this week I'm going to talk about the Salem witch trials.
Oh gosh. What did we talk about with Salem when you went on your trip last year?
We didn't started it yet.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, I think we had just started and I just like didn't think to do it. No.
I swear you. No.
When did we start?
I'm pretty sure we started like right now.
Because I went like right now last year.
Did you? Okay, I'm going to scroll back to the beginning of our episodes. Because I know you went like essentially.
I thought we started more in like December, November.
Oh yeah. No. You didn't go over it. We must have just like recapped the trip a little bit.
Oh, okay.
I remember talking about it.
Okay.
Okay. Wow.
So okay. Yeah. So about a year ago, I was in Salem, Massachusetts, which was really, really awesome. I recommend anyone. It's probably fun. It's like cool to go probably all times of the year, but especially in the month of October, it's super busy, but super cool. And the vibes are just so spooky. So if you're ever looking for a little fall trip, I would check it out.
That sounds actually so fun. Like how fun would it be to do a little girls trip?
It would be so fun because they had the cutest little witches hats for sale and they were like $25, which I know isn't that expensive, but I was like, I will never wear it again. But all the little girlies who bought, they were like felt witches hats. They were so stinking cute. And if you I went would. With friends, I'd be like, we are all getting these hats.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, it's it was really cool. Actually, this is funny. So I just got my hair done the other weekend and I went to a girl who I have never gone to before. And she was like, oh, I just got back from a little trip out east. I was like, oh, fine. Where were you? And she's like, well, she's like, I'm kind of weird, but I was in Salem for a Halloween ball soiree and to like just check out Salem. And I loved it. I was like, I was just there around this time. We were just like geeking out about it. But I think she's like much more into, I'm not saying she's like a witch or anything, but
yes.
I think she's like super into that stuff and knows a lot more about it. And it sounded really cool.
That's
what she did.
That sounds like you guys really bonded during that haircut.
Yeah, we did. And then we talked about dating apps. So it
was great. Okay. So funnily enough, I just got my hair done as well. And my hairstylist was talking about her upcoming trip to Costa Rica, I believe.
Oh.
And let me look here because I want to get it right. I'll cut this part out. Okay, so she was like, oh yeah, I'm going to this retreat coming up. I have my flight booked to Costa Rica and everything. I'm like, oh, fun. What kind of retreat? Like, expecting it to be like a yoga retreat or something like that. She's doing ayahuasca. Do you know what that is?
Wait, is that like...
Yeah, it's like the drug that's...
Yeah.
I think it's essentially like really intense acid. I don't know. Let me look.
Okay.
Ayahuasca. It's spelled really weird. Ayahuasca is a plant-based psychedelic. It affects all senses. It's really, really intense, but it's a brewed drink, and it's pretty ceremonial and spiritual. And I think it actually stems from South America. Like, that's where it started. But people do ayahuasca to, like, essentially, like, they can do it for a few different reasons, or, like, any reason, essentially. But, like, to either heal themselves or find, like, deeper meaning in life. But I guess it's, like, a really, really intense experience. And, like, people get sick and, like, face things that they don't want to face. Or like have to face, but they're like scared of facing. I don't really know the details, but she's done it once before and she said it was amazing and life-changing. And she said she never wanted to go back because it was such a hard experience. And the last time she did it was like 4 years ago when she was getting out of a relationship. So she went for like healing purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And this year she's going for expanding purposes. Like she just like wants to know like what more she can get out of life. Anyways, she was just like telling me all about her ayahuasca trips. I'm like, okay, pop off, girl. And then she was like, yeah, I don't normally tell people, but like, you seem pretty chill with it. I'm like, yeah, the vibes are right.
Yeah, like you, not judgmental at all. I'm not sure you would ever do one, but you're like, yeah, you do what you want to do, homie. Have fun.
Yeah. And she was like,
stay safe.
I was telling this other client of mine that's like 70 years old. I'm like, I'm going on a retreat to Costa Rica. And she's like, oh my God, you're doing that ayahuasca shit, aren't you?
She just knew.
Yeah, the woman knew, but she was like, her husband was super into it. So that's how knew.
Cause I never would have like assumed that. I would have been like, yeah, yoga or spiritual.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, side tangent, but funny story.
Funny.
And yeah, best of luck to her and her journey.
For sure. For sure. So yeah, I'm going to talk about the Salem Witch Trials, and my sources this week are SmithsonianMagazine.com and History.com. The infamous Salem Witch Trials began during the spring of 1692 after a group of young girls in Salem Village, Massachusetts, claimed to be possessed by the devil and accused several local women of witchcraft. Belief that the devil was giving certain humans, witches, the power to harm others in return for their loyalty had emerged in Europe in the 14th century and was widespread in colonial New England. So essentially this idea started in Europe and made its way over to present day Massachusetts eastern coast.
Okay.
In January of 1962, 9-year-old Elizabeth, known as Betty Paris, and 11-year-old Abigail Williams began having fits, which included violent contortions and uncontrollable outbursts of screaming.
Remember the Crucible?
Yes, which is based off of the Salem Witch Trials.
I remember reading that in high school and just like my mind was blown. I feel like that book is like an actual great representation of like the chaos of the time as well.
Yeah, I did read that it's based off of the Salem Witch Trials and like dramatized in many ways, but I think it does kind of give an idea of how hysterical people got over it. So after a local doctor, William Griggs, diagnosed bewitchment for the girls, other young girls in the community began to exhibit similar symptoms, including Ann Putman Jr., Mercy Lewis, Elizabeth Hubbard, Mary Walcott, and Mary Warren. Something I learned writing the story down is that there was not a wide variety of names going on here. So you'll hear the same name 2, 3, maybe 4 times.
For House of the Dragon watchers that are listeners of the pod, or Hot D, like some people like to call it.
Okay.
You know the issue of not a lot of names being used.
Okay.
I'll just leave it at that.
Cool.
Sophie's not a
watcher. I'm not. Okay, so about a month later, arrest warrants were issued for the Paris's Caribbean slave, Tituba, along with 2 other women, a homeless beggar named Sarah Good and a poor elderly woman, Sarah Osborne, who the girls accused of bewitching them. So these were the 3 women that these girls said bewitched them.
Mm-hmm.
So the 3 accused witches were brought before the magistrates Jonathan Corbin and John Hawthorne and questioned as their accusers appeared in the courtroom as well, continuing to display spasm, contortions, and screaming. So the girls were still suffering from these outbursts.
Mm-hmm.
Good and Osborne denied their guilt, but Tituba confessed, likely trying to protect herself from certain conviction by acting as an informer. So she claimed that there were other witches acting alongside her in service of the devil against the Puritans. So the Puritans were members of a religious reform movement known as Puritanism that arose within the Church of England in the late 16th century. So I think it's kind of like a group of people that separated from Catholicism and kind of created their own religion. And there was a heavy Puritan presence in Massachusetts at the time.
Got it.
But it was like kind of conflicting between non-Puritans. Okay, so hysteria soon spread throughout Massachusetts and a number of other women were accused, including Martha Corey and Rebecca Nurse, who were both regarded as upstanding members of the church and community. Sarah Good's daughter was also accused of being a witch and was only 4 years old. So like Tituba, several accused witches confessed and named others, and the justice system soon became very overwhelmed with all the trials.
Right.
So in May of 1962, the governor of Massachusetts, William Phipps, ordered the establishment of a special court to rule over the witchcraft cases for Suffolk, Essex, and Middlesex counties. So essentially they created a special court just for the witch trials. On June 2nd, the court handed down their first conviction against Bridget Bishop, who was hanged 8 days later on what would become known as Gallows Hill in Salem Town. So there was Salem Town and Salem Village.
Okay.
Just so you know. And Salem Village is modern day Salem, and Salem Town is, it's, I can't remember the name, something with a D. So they both went through rebrands.
Got it.
Not
the current Salem so much.
Yeah, we just dropped the village.
Yeah.
But so it's like where these women were hanged wasn't actually in like what Salem is today. You kind of have to go out of town a little bit to go to the Gallows Hill.
Okay.
5 more people were hanged in July. 5 more people were hanged in August and then 8 more in September.
Jeez.
7 others were accused of being witches, died in jail, while Gile Corey, he was the husband of Martha Corey, who was an accused witch, was pressed to death by stones after he refused to enter a plea at his arraignment.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Oh,
so Governor... Yeah, so Governor Phipps eventually dissolved the special court in October. So this was like kind of a quick thing. It was all happening in the same year. So he dissolved the special court in October and mandated that its successor disregard spectral evidence. And because while a lot of people were for the witch trials, there were a handful of outspoken people who were against it, saying like, essentially just saying, this is like hearsay. We're not like proving anything. It's just some people being like, this person's a witch because
right.
she looked at me wrong. And it's like, nothing is really being proven. So he did get rid of the courts, but the trials continued, but did dwindle in intensity until early 1963. And by May of that year,
1963?
Sorry, 1663.
Okay. I was like, bro.
Yeah, 1663. Sorry. This went on for a long time.
Yeah, I'm like, holy shit. They didn't teach me that in history.
Yeah, no. So in 1663, in May, the next year, Phipps had pardoned and released all of the remaining people who were in prison on witchcraft charges. So kind of just was like, never mind. And then in January of 1667, Massachusetts General Court declared a day of fasting for the tragedies of the Salem witch trials, and the court would eventually deem the trials as unlawful. However, the damage made to the community lingered even after the Massachusetts colony passed legislation restoring the good names of the condemned and provided financial restitution to their heirs in 1711. And it's like, of course, you're deeming these unconstitutional, but you killed many people.
Yeah.
I mean, we see this a lot in history, but
interesting that they gave them reparations.
Yeah. So it's believed that women who were accused, so you kind of wonder like why this obviously is like not real. Why were these women confessing to being witches? So it's believed that women who were accused and later confessed to being a witch did so in hopes to spare their life, as many of those who actually confessed to being a witch were sometimes reintegrated into society, while those who pled not guilty but then were found guilty, were hanged. So a lot of women just were like, yeah, you're right, I am a witch, hoping that, you know, eventually they could re-enter normal life after going through whatever they needed to go through. Whereas people who, you know, were holding on to their pride and their namesake, which I totally understand, and were found guilty, were hanged.
It's like,
It just kind of became this thing of like, I need to accuse someone of being a witch before I'm accused of being a witch.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding. Like, that for sure is what was going on.
What about the girls that were like having those seizure fits and contortions?
Yeah, I don't think they definitely weren't hanged. But it was
like what was the reason for their them doing that?
So,
like mass hysteria.
Yeah, I have that. So okay, so first off, there's a number of reasons why people, mostly women, were being accused of being witches, and much had to do with local quarrels between Salem Village and Salem Town. Mm. And then there's also those who refused to conform to Puritan beliefs were also most likely to be accused of witchcraft. So just a lot of tensions.
Yeah.
And then it was also later found in an effort to explain by scientific means the strange afflictions suffered by those who were bewitched in Salem. So these girls, a study published in Science Magazine I have 1976, but I'm worried that date is not correct. It wouldn't be 1676, but it might have been like 1876.
I feel like 1976 for like a magazine.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Anyway, so they cited the fungus ergot, which was found in rye, wheat, and other cereals, which toxicologists say can cause symptoms such as delusions, vomiting, and muscle spasms. So it's speculated that these girls were just like ingesting something, because I think there's also been things where they just like ate shrooms out in the woods and on it were essentially on a trip.
Right.
So I think it can be somewhat assumed that they weren't bewitched, but I think they did have some kind of weird symptoms going on.
Yeah, like they weren't just sick. Like making up those symptoms to like point fingers at somebody else.
Yeah, because or at I least think
like some of them weren't. I could see others because just like jumping on the bandwagon.
Right. Like, let's say they were doing something that they shouldn't be doing, like ingesting mushrooms or some type of psychedelic drug.
Ayahuasca.
But they knew they would get in trouble. So then they were like, oh, well, this person's slave.
Right.
You know, because they are just like trying to avoid getting in trouble. And then it just became this whole thing, which is just so terrible. But yeah, so a lot of mostly women died. Luckily a lot were left out or like pardoned and then released from prison later. But the whole thing really only lasted less than a year in terms of like the accusations, the trials, and the hangings. It's a very small part of history, but a very interesting part of history.
Yeah, and one that has made a clearly lasting impression. Like, I mean, that whole Salem now is like a tourist attraction, which is like so interesting. It makes it almost feel not real, but obviously it is. It's just, it feels like a kind of like a spooky story.
Yeah, they definitely, it's definitely a little kitschy out in Salem. Like you said, they kind of play it up. They really feed into it. And obviously it's serious. It's sad. It's like a true and what happened. But yeah, they definitely want people to just be like spooked and like get in the Halloween season and, you know, capitalize on this. And then on top of that, I mean, there's also just a lot of history out on the East Coast. So then they just pair that with like ghost tours and other historical things, which we did when we were out there, which was really cool. But the witch trials have always been super fascinating to me. They just give me a weird vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. I always really was like engrossed in learning about it as well. And it just, I think I'm like so intrigued in it, and other people are too, because it's so weird that it doesn't seem real. Like it seems,
oh, it's so out there.
A scary story that you might like tell somebody like around the campfire, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't feel like it would actually happen, but it did.
Yeah. It did. So yeah. Strange.
Crazy.
So, yeah, that's the Salem Witch Trials, y'all.
And it makes me want to go watch. Wasn't there a Crucible movie that we watched?
I think there was. I know, doesn't it kind of make you want to watch a scary movie?
Yeah, it kind of does.
I low-key like watching scary movies. I don't like ghost movies or shows. I will not watch paranormal things. That stuff is so scary to me. But I kind of do like the thrill of watching a scary movie, but I don't want to do it alone. So I feel like it has to be like the right vibe.
I don't love scary movies, but
it's okay. I think a lot of people don't.
I like reading them. It's kind of the visual thing for me.
Yeah, you know? That's fair. Totally fair.
Well, thanks for sharing.
You're welcome.
I will transition into our happy story, our palate cleanser. My sources are npr.org and als.org and statnews.com. So I'm doing my happy story on the ice bucket challenge and how it actually made a difference. So, of course, as I remember, and I'm sure you remember, few years prior, there was an ice bucket challenge going around social media where people had to like pour a bucket of ice.
A few water. Years. This was like,
I know, I'll get into the actual dates.
Okay.
Pour a bucket of ice cold water on you and then like make a pledge to donate to ALS research. I remember that flying around the internet. So this story is about how that challenge actually helped fund a new ALS drug. So ALS, also known as amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, is a progressive neurodegenerative disease that afflicts approximately 16,000 people in the US and a comparable number of patients in Europe as well. Approximately 5,000 new cases of ALS are diagnosed each year in the US, and the average life expectancy of a patient is approximately 3 to 5 years after diagnosis, and only approximately 10% of patients survive more than 10 years. It's very much not a good diagnosis to get.
Mm-hmm.
If you think back to 2014, which is when it started, which is 8 years ago, you might remember videos scattered across your social media feed showing your friends standing in their yards, waiting and smiling nervously for a cold shock that was about to hit them. After your friends spoke a bit and made a pledge to donate money to the ALS Association, a massive bucket of ice water was poured on their head, drenching them as they tried to shake it off. And when it was either before or after the challenge, the video concluded or started with them challenging another person to do the same thing. So it spread like wildfire. Did you ever do it?
I did do it. Sophomore year of college, me and my roommates got challenged and we did it.
Where did you take the video?
In our bath. Like, we were living in a suite, so we had like a big shower, like a walk-in shower.
Got it.
And we did it in there. Yeah.
I was challenged and I was like, I'm not doing that, but I'll still donate because I was like too cool. For school. I was like, I'm not doing that. I guarantee everybody that's posting is not even donating. So I was like, I'll donate instead.
Good for you. I'll do that.
But I do remember some people being like, no, you either take the video or you donate. And I'm like,
yeah,
that's not how it works. The purpose is to donate.
I think that was the idea, is like, then you challenge someone, if they don't do it within 24 hours, they have to donate or something. But I feel like everyone just did it and still donated. Or I hope that was
the and case. It was meant to, you take a video and you donate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyways. The challenge began in 2014 when pro golfer Chris Kennedy challenged his wife's cousin, Jeanette Senercia, whose husband has ALS. So Pat Quinn, who is the patient with ALS, was from Yonkers, New York. And that is how it all started. And that since then, it was picked up on social media and started to spread. And then Freight's family got involved, and the phenomenon exploded on social media.
Okay.
The Ice Bucket Challenge has been transformative in the field of ALS genomics. Is that how you say it? Genomics?
Oh, I have no idea.
You know, like the genome. So I'm assuming it's genomics. Okay. So through the funding, they built one of the largest resources of ALS whole genome sequencing data. This resource has been shared with partners all over the world, and it has accelerated the pace of ALS gene discovery and has led to the largest ALS sequencing study in the US. So $115 was actually officially raised through the challenge.
$115 million?
What did I say?
$115.
$115 million was officially raised through the challenge. And the ALS Association said that 2.2 million of the funds were raised through the challenge went to funding the development and trial of a new drug that the FDA just approved this week for ALS.
Woohoo!
So I think that was like 2 weeks ago when the article came out. The new drug is not a cure for the disease, but it does significantly slow down the effects. And it has dramatically accelerated the fight against ALS. So it's a big, big step.
Yeah.
So the drug is not the only thing benefiting from this challenge. Like I said, $115 million were raised, and the ALS Association said it's funding 130 research projects in 12 different countries, as well as 40 potential treatments that are in development. I read about a lot of different things that this money has gone towards, and essentially it's just been like a huge, huge increase in research that can be done because you can, you know, actually like pay more people to get more hands-on the research and pay for better.
I mean, it's all about the funding. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's been huge. But yeah, that drug, I guess, is a big breakthrough, and it's now approved. So it's really cool. And I just remember the challenge, and I was kind of thinking like, oh, this is a little bit silly, obviously, because I was like all high and mighty and just donated instead of doing a video. But clearly it made a huge impact. And
yeah, it's very cool. And of course, it's like, we were like so young, and it's hard to like relate to that stuff. Once you like know someone personally who's been impacted by ALS, it just like becomes so much more real for you. Luckily our family members, like immediate family members, have not been impacted by it, but I know people who have been impacted by it. And then I don't know, it just like really heightens the awareness for it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's really cool to hear that like kind of come full circle.
Yeah. Kind of crazy. I'm sure, and I'm sure more is going to be done as well, because there was a lot of funding through that challenge. So yeah, we'll stay tuned.
Love. Well, I saw that story. I didn't read the whole article, so I'm really glad you covered it. That's super exciting. Otherwise,
yay science. Otherwise, you guys listening need to rate, review, subscribe us right now. Tell a friend.
Stop what you're doing.
Stop what you're doing. Tell a friend. And have a great rest of your week. We love you, and stay happy.
As happy as you can be. Bye. Bye. Thank you.